Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sister's Place Blog Talk Radio Show. This morning, we have another special guest joining us on our show. We have veteran actor John Wesley. Mr. Wesley, welcome to the show this morning.
Well, glad to be here. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Just fine. Thank you very much for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. So tell us about your current indie film that you're starring in titled The Midnighter.
Yeah, it's a caper movie intertwined with a father-son story. I play a kind of streetwise psychologist. It's a new role for me. They don't call me for roles where I play gangsters and players. And for the most part of my career, I've not done bad guys, so to speak. Turns out this guy is a good guy, bad guy. You're going to love him because of who he is. He's not your typical gangster. It turns out that my storyline is that I did 12 years with him. The picture opens with him getting out after 35 years in prison. And he starts looking around to find his way, and he had money that was taken from him, and now he finds me. And I act as a kind of a spirit guide to this guy. I'm actually the sage of the movie. That's what they do with us, you know. And it's a wonderful, wonderful role for me because it's so different from anything that I've ever done before. And the people, I've been to three festivals and watched it with three different audiences, and they seem to be quite in love with both the picture and our leading actor, a fellow named Leon Russom, and me. They seem to really gravitate to us. We're trying to get distribution for it now. A friend of mine has it over at Paramount, so we may be coming into the movies soon if they decide they're going to distribute it. But it's a wonderful, well-made, small movie that people are loving. So I'm looking forward to its release.
Okay. What attracted you to this role?
Well, I did a play here about 5 years ago called Stick Fly, and people saw me in it. And one of the people was the guy who wrote and directed and produced this picture and said, I've got to have John Wesley. So he sent the script to me. I read it. I liked it. Called him back. Told him I was interested, and we made the deal. And we've been having a wonderful time ever since. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. I hope this thing takes off for him because it's his first picture. So I hope it brings him much more work. And I think it will when you see it because I think you're going to like it.
Okay. Awesome.
But that's how I got. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's how I got involved.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Awesome. Awesome. That's awesome. Is this role different than any role you've played in the past?
Oh, yeah, much different. Much different. Well, I've been generally cast up sort of upscale. I've done the whole gamut of roles because I've played militants and I've played judges, I've played priests. I've played all kinds of roles, but this is the first time I ever got to dress flashy with my chalk stripe suits and looking like a player. I've never looked so good in life. And I know that this kind of character is very, very attractive, particularly to women. They like the bad guy. So I finally get to show up in a bad guy role and get some of that love. So it's totally different and something that I dedicated the role to a fellow named El Dorado Eddie. The role reminded me of him, so I decided to dedicate it. He's been gone for a while, but he was somebody that made an impression on me at a younger age, and I never forgot it. So this was my opportunity to pay some homage to him by trying to do a little bit of what I remember, because he was a major player. He was the real deal. So I kind of went back to that treasure trove of memory and said, I can put that in with this guy and give him my authenticity along with dedicate this to El Dorado Eddie, my good friend.
Okay. That is
so
beautiful.
Yeah, this is quite different from anything I've ever done.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to seeing it when it does come to movie theater.
I hope we get it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're starring in a one-man show called Frederick Douglass in His Own Words. What inspired you to do this show?
I got a call, I think it was last year, from my alma mater, the University of California, San Diego, and they wanted me to do something for Black History Month. Well, without having done any research or anything, I said to the sponsors, I said, well, you know, they do Paul Robeson, but I don't see anybody doing Frederick Douglass. And I said, maybe I'll try some of that. This was before I went online and did the research on it. Once I got online and saw who I was dealing with, I called myself an idiot because his speeches were anywhere from 19 pages to 30 pages long. And I went, whoa, hold on here. I can't do this and call, you know, I would be there 3 days trying to do his speeches. So I made an executive decision then. I said, all right, since I've already volunteered for this, I'm going to take no more than 5 pages from any of his speeches, and I'll do that. Because I was trying to do the show within about an hour 10, something like that. And so I opened the show with his biography, and then I go straight to the podium and open with the July 4th speech. Then I go to my chair and relax to do 3 letters, one to Abraham Lincoln's wife, one to Harriet Tubman, and a letter to my old master, Hugh Oud. And then when I finish that, I close with the women's suffrage speech because he was, you know, very deeply involved in that movement. And so it winds up being I cover a lot of territory and try to get it in about an hour because I think that's all an audience can take of looking and listening to me. We don't want to wear out our welcome. I got it. And when I did it down there and I didn't have it where it is now. I've got lights and everything else in it and it's been brought in a director and all of that. But when I was down there, his words are so powerful, I don't have to do much but channel the words, let the words come through and with a kind of honesty that moves people because it certainly moved the people then when I did it the first time. And I went, whoa, I've got some real power here. So it doesn't require a lot of my acting. It just requires that I be in the right place and deliver the man's words as I think he intended them to be delivered. So it's very, very exciting, actually, because it's a show that I can do, and I can do it as long as anybody wants me. So I'm looking forward to getting on the road with it. Who knows? I may come into Chicago. Maybe somebody there will say, get John Wesley here, and I'll come and do it for you. You know, that's what I'm up to.
Okay. Love it. Love it. Frederick Douglass is the great. He's one of the greats that people do need to know about. Absolutely.
Well, he was an orator. And these days, one of the first things I looked at when I looked at the size of his speeches was why this couldn't work today. We're too distracted. Our attention span is too small. We have to compete with television and the Internet. Whereas in his day, you came to listen. So he could write those long speeches, and you'd be thoroughly, you know, engaged. But these days, you would be hard-pressed to get someone's attention for that, you know, length of period. So, but I've got it cut to where I think it's just right. It's right about an hour. It's just about right.
Okay.
And it's covering a wide range of topics within that hour. So it's a great little show. I can't wait to get out on the road with it. I'm not going to do a whole lot of it, but I can't wait to put it in front of a legitimate audience and see what we've got.
Okay. All right, then. So are you working on any other projects outside of the one-man performance show that you're doing for Frederick Douglass? Any other projects coming down the pipeline?
Not really. Those two have me occupied. What will happen if somebody sends something to my manager that I want to do by way of a movie or a play, then we'll talk about it then. But right now, my manager is just trying to find a role that will allow me to star in another picture. We're not looking for small roles. We're only looking for leading roles now. We won't take any more of the... I've spent my whole life as a character actor, and I guess you can go to my website if you don't, for people who don't know my work, they just go to jwesley.com and you can get a sample of my work. But that's what I've been doing, just working as an actor and trying to stay in the game. And fortunately, I've had about a 40-year run now, so I can call myself an actor. And,
yes, sir.
Done quite a bit of work in this industry without becoming a major name or a big star. I think my publicist is up to raising my identification in the. She'd like to make me a bigger star. That's why you have a publicist. But I've been just a guy who's been an actor, a dedicated actor, who's into the art of acting. I'm an artist. I've never really been a television or film actor. I've been creating roles because I'm an artist. And that's what artists do. Anybody can sort of, in Los Angeles, it's really bad because a basketball player, a baseball player, anybody gets a role in a movie and all of a sudden they're actors now. Without having studied any of Shakespeare, or done any of Chekhov, or done any of the work that requires, that defines an actor. But that's what you can do here. You can get a little role and then call yourself an actor. Well, I'm insulted by stuff like that. It just, I go along with it because it's the nature of it. This is a business here, and they're into names and faces, and they're not into the art of acting until you get the role. And then you show us what you got, and they'll hire you again. But then that's not really what it's about here. It's about business. And if you look good, you sound good, we might find something for you to do. But if you call yourself an actor, then if you come to me, I'm probably going to grill you. I'm going to ask, what have you done? And then I'm going to ask, where are you working? Going to ask those kinds of questions because actors act. They don't talk about acting.
Right.
You find them on the stage somewhere doing what they do.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's my little sidebar with acting in Hollywood. In New York, you're treated totally different because in New York, they know what actors go through. The whole city is about that. So, you know, they get it. Out here, they don't get it so much. But you do,
so,
you know, you... Go ahead.
So, with the current state of Black America, what is your opinion on our current state for Black Americans?
Well, you know, one of the things that this Frederick Douglass has reminded me, not much has changed. When they hear my speeches, they're going to say, oh, my God, that's going on right now. Because not much has changed since slavery. Unfortunately, in our country, we've run away from trying to fix race. We've kept it locked in. It's in the DNA of this country because it started with slavery. And it hasn't. We've never been able to fix that. I think Obama had the right idea at first time when Gates was arrested at his own house, trying to get in his own house, Obama had a brilliant idea. He said, I think what's happening with this, we don't talk about it. Let's get you guys together and have a beer summit, and let's talk about the issues. We've run away from them. And he was trying to lead the country in that way. Let's talk about some of this stuff so we can fix it. Otherwise, it just sits there like a cancer and just grows because we don't take the time to dialogue with our fellow man and fix some of these problems. In fact, as we could see from our president, we've locked into this race thing and we feel comfortable staying there. Black people don't, but if it weren't for black people, we'd have no changes at all in this country. None. We have forced, boy, I tell you, these people don't know what they've got, white folks. We are the most loyal to them. We've brought this country, raised the level of it, musically, sports-wise, artistically. We've taken this country to the top shelf. Black people have done this. They get no credit for it. But we are very little credit. But we have been the most loyal to this country to be treated the way we are treated, discriminated against. And to have a president come out and say that because you protest against it, you're just as bad as the neo-Nazis, which is absurd. But that's what we're stuck with now until we make a change. So this race question, this question that W.E.B. Du Bois talked about in the early 19th century, he said the problem is the color problem. Well, geez, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Color. God, when he made us, I want to get spiritual on you, but I have to, when he put us together, he didn't care what color you were. He made us all different. He made us all different. One must have, unless you think you're better than God, you don't have much to say except he said all we have to do is love one another. That's all we have to
do. Absolutely.
That's all we have to do, and we can fix some of this stuff. You know, and by the way, it goes a little deeper. He made us first, according to everything we read. And then he decided, you know, these guys can't make it by this. Let me get a woman up in here because these guys ain't going to nothing but beat each other up. I better fix these guys with a woman. And gave us you, thank God. He gave us you. And that has saved us from disaster. But that's my take on it. You know, that's my take.
Amen.
But just to close out your question, until we get to a place, and I think it does have to come in the Spirit of God. I can't see it coming from any. That's why King was so effective. He knew this stuff must come through the Spirit of God, or we can't fix it. Man cannot fix it by himself unless he goes to the right place to get a fixing. And the only place I see fixing anything is somewhere within the Spirit. Now, I don't care what your religion is. I really don't, as long as you believe in a higher power and believe, I suppose, in those Ten Commandments he gave us. I don't care what your thing is. As long as we both agree that all things happen in God's time. Or the Rastas say all things happen in Jah time, or Jehovah's. And that's what I believe. I believe we can fix this country once we get the right leadership in place, because we have to have leaders. We can't do this alone. You know, I'm missing our leaders, like King and X and the guys I grew up with. I mean, we had real leaders then who were advocating for those of us who didn't know. They were teaching us. And we need those kinds of teachers, and I consider myself one of those people who can pass on. I'm a conduit for passing on information. And I love engaging my fellow man in discourse, especially if we're trying to fix something like race.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I live in a completely integrated neighborhood. I grew up with segregation was the dominant theme, but I never grew up like that. My dad was Navy, and so we had all types of people in the Navy. So I grew up in the projects where, with everybody, white, green, Puerto Rican, Filipino, you name it. So in that sense, I've lived part of the American dream, because we were striving towards integration, figuring it would make us better. We could get into the college. We were right, too. We wanted some of what they got, but we want that.
Mm-hmm.
We want the same things you got, the same things the Constitution guaranteed you. That's what we want. Even
though
we know at the time we were considered chattel and property. Well, we never considered, that was you guys. We never considered ourselves that. We've always known we are human beings. We are God's children. We've always known that.
That's right.
So, you know, but that's sort of my perspective on it. It's a long-range perspective because we haven't done anything to fix it all these hundreds
mm-hmm.
of years. We have tried, black folk, but we can't get
mm-hmm.
the cooperation. I don't know who came up with this idea of integration. It was a white idea, and we've tried to do it, but every time we move in, you move out. You know, damn, cannot integrate like that. That's why when I
Absolutely.
Talk about where I live, we have, you know, all types of people living in the neighborhood, and we have achieved some of that. And everybody's friendly and warm. I can see where this country could be if we just put a little more effort into trying to fix certain things. It's going to require, listen, we can't fix it. The white folks have to come in. And they set it up. We didn't set this up. And they have to cooperate and want to fix it. Otherwise, it doesn't get fixed. We sit on
mm-hmm.
it. Like Frederick Douglass calls it the great sin and shame of America. That's what the legacy of slavery is. And we are still living it, sweetheart. We haven't moved much past
oh, wow.
it. I'll give you a quick thing, and then I'm going to stop this because I'm preaching now. But there's a quick
okay.
thing. It's kind of quick. You know what? I guess that came in and went out. Just came in my head and went right out the other side. So I apologize. But
oh, no worries.
It was something I sure wanted to say about this in a very quick way, but it's gone out now. Sorry. Maybe it'll come back before I hang up.
Okay. Well,
but
how can our listeners learn more about you?
Well, one thing, you can go to my website, jwesley.com, or you get in touch
mm-hmm.
with Gina Smith, my publicist. She knows everything about me, and she will be able to pass on information that one might, you know, be. Or you'll get in touch with me.
Okay.
She'll put you in touch with me if she thinks it's safe. She's not going to send anybody half crazy to me.
Oh,
but
it was such a pleasure.
Well, mine too, sweetheart. Thank you for the interview. It was a lovely interview. And we will
welcome.
Talk. I guess we'll talk. We'll talk again at some point.
Yes, we will.
Maybe after the movie comes into the movie houses, we'll have another chat.
Yes, and I hope it does make it to the movie theater so that we can see it, so that everyone can
Ooh,
see it. And then as well, and
yeah.
hopefully some of the film festivals here. Chicago has a Black Film Festival coming this year. So maybe
mm-hmm.
maybe you guys will be here.
Maybe. The only thing is, it's not a black picture.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Well, there's other film festivals that are here, too.
But it's a film that goes to film festivals.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to a
mm-hmm.
couple, and boy, what a pleasure to watch. See, I don't get to watch movies. I shoot them, and usually if I go to the movie house, I wait till everybody goes in and sneak in the back so as not to be seen and watch it, you know, with an audience. But these festivals are lovely because I get to watch it with the audience and see their reactions, and I get all their reactions, and then we do a 10-minute or 15-minute talk back. So if you got any questions, see what I mean? We'll see how this goes, but I hope to have it in the movies soon, in the movie houses, and you get a chance to see it because it's a wonderful, wonderful movie.
Okay. Well, everyone, there you have it, Mr. John Wesley. Be sure to visit his website to learn more about him, and we look forward to your future projects. Thank you
so much for joining us today.
All right.
Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
I love you, too. Bye-bye.